boy, in Calgary, it is absolute sky is falling every time Mike Smith starts. And when that's not the case or they outscore his problems, it's, hey, look, we're pretty much close to first place here.
Well, and I can't fault the fans on this one, to be honest, or anyone in the media that's maybe made the sky be falling. I mean, in Mike Smith, you're talking about a goalie, you know, age 36. I believe he's got the lowest save percentage among goalies that have played, you know, five or six games this year. You know, they're essentially goalies we would call a team starter. And, you know, it's on one hand, it's a small, you know, amount of games, but on the other, you know, that this team has had a fair amount of success. And you know, I think that some of the blame on Mike Smith's shoulders is fair. I mean, the question, you know, that should be asked, I guess, is how patient can you be with him? And you know, I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I don't think you can keep riding him every day as your automatic number one for too much longer if the performance doesn't have a sharp uptick. I just think it's too risky. You know, this division is there, I think, for a playoff spot for a lot of teams, but I put Calgary in there as well. I mean, this could be a wide open year for in the Pacific. And so, you know, if Rita keeps playing well when he gets his time, you know, I would think he's going to start to get more time. So, you know, I really don't fault the fans. That was a tough loss in Anaheim. You know, a game in my eyes that was there for the taking for Calgary. I mean, the Ducks have had all kinds of trouble. When John Gibson isn't walking on water, they're not been winning for the most part. And so that was a big loss. And, you know, I think we should be right to watch how the Smith situation goes forward, because I don't think that there should be a level of patience there, just given everything that's at stake.
What solutions would you see if one of the outcomes that's certainly probable, maybe not the most probable, but let's say Mike Smith doesn't have any more, turns 37 in the spring. Hey, great career, but kaput. He is no longer an NHL caliber netminder. I mean, the numbers would suggest that from February till now. But if that is the case, what will Brad Treleving be looking to do here to address that?
Well, you know, I think the best solution is try to identify someone just on the cusp. And it's only because, you know, there are some proven names out there. You know, a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be a free agent. And let's just play fantasy land for a moment. Forget, you know, to pay him what he's going to want to be paid is going to be a risk for any team. And so, you know, unlike other positions where you might look to patch that hole with a big name or someone who's established, I think that there's some risk in doing that. And you know, it depends on the guy. I mean, you know, Corey Schneider could be a potential option. You know, he's coming back from serious injury. And, you know, I think there's some question about whether, you know, what impact that layoff will have had on him. But, you know, if he and Keith Kincaid both play well the rest of the year, I mean, maybe someone like that still makes sense because I don't think he's too old. But beyond that, it's a tough thing. And it's funny when, you know, someone has a saying, it's something along the lines that I heard, you know, you don't worry about the goalie till you don't have one. Because if you don't have one, you notice it every game. And, you know, I know even going back a couple of years ago when the Leafs made that deal to get Frederik Andersen from Anaheim, that Calgary was one of the teams very involved. And you know, in Toronto, where there was years and years of goalie turmoil, I mean, it's more or less been gone. I mean, like any goalie, he's had some ups and downs. But, you know, by and large, he's given them league average to slightly league average, above league average goaltending the whole time. And games that they've lost haven't been too squarely on his shoulders. And so, you know, I feel like you got to find that guy. And, you know, I don't get paid the GM money. I don't see who it is at this moment, but, you know, I have to believe that's a conversation being had again and again in the front office on a long-term basis, because, you know, it's a tough league to win in with how close so many of the teams are. If you know, if your goaltender is giving an 872 or even 900, I mean, most teams, you need 910, 915, 920 save percentages to have a lot of success.
I'm looking around the league and it's like, okay, Ryan Miller would be a great guy to have, but he's clearly in Anaheim for lifestyle and is happy to be the backup for John Gibson, and that's a fit long term. Yeah. Obviously Varlamov would be a guy in the move if he wasn't outplaying Grubauer by the margin he was, so he's not a guy they're going to put to market anytime soon, especially if they're competitive in the standings. Bobrovsky, I feel like Columbus is going to ride or die with these guys in the sense that he and Panarin, they might win a cup and watch him walk, and I think they'd be fine with it if it went that far, but he hasn't even looked himself to start the year. What about Jimmy Howard in Detroit? The last year of that mega deal he got, and the owed money is actually well under the AAV. I wonder if there's anything there. I haven't loved him, but the numbers haven't minded him at all.
Well, and the Red Wings would move him. I mean, look, they're in a position that's pretty clearly, they would be in the clubhouse leader right now for 31st place team this year.
Yeah,
they're going to sell off any assets they can ahead of the deadline because they're stockpiling draft picks. They're in a rebuild. And, you know, I don't think one way or another that they're going to be able to avoid doing that this season. So Jimmy Howard's a name that could be had. I mean, the interesting thing about the goalie trade market is, you know, usually teams don't have to give up that much to get a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the harder part is that the guys you really want, you know, generally don't get traded. And so that's why, you know, much in the same way, you know, San Jose identified Martin Jones as a backup that could be number one. I think that was, you know, a smart move. The Leafs getting Anderson, as I mentioned earlier, helped in their case where he was someone splitting starts and had a desire to play more. I mean, if you can find that guy somewhere, you know, even Antti Raanta, honestly, you know, looking great right now in Arizona. We'll see if he can do it over a full season. He hasn't yet done that, but, you know, he was someone who was a long-time backup that continually had above-average numbers. I mean, I think that if you can get that guy that maybe doesn't have the biggest name yet or hasn't totally proven himself, but has shown you enough, I mean, that to me is the best trade to make because some of the names you mentioned have had glory in the league, but, you know, I worry about their injury history and their age and other factors that could bite you if you put all that your eggs in that basket.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of, to be honest, just looking at rentals, like who could you just airlift in right to save this year? And then, of course, you'd open your, and maybe it's Robin Leonard, Peter Mrazek, Calvin Pickard, all three Philly goalies are up. There's all kinds of options if you want the 1B low-money rental guy, but that's probably not, that's absolutely not solving your problem long-term, I guess, is the issue.
Well, and let's not sleep on Bobrovsky as a goaltender this year that I think will move. You know, it's not ending well in Columbus. I don't think the way he's handled his contract situation has enamored him too much in that dressing room to management. And he's a tough guy to move in the sense that he has a full no-move clause. But, you know, my sense is that he'll be willing to waive that to play. If he can go somewhere where he feels he can, you know, show well heading into July 1st when he's an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, I'm not saying at all that the Flames have specific interest in him, but, you know, I won't be surprised if, say, a St. Louis tries to make a move for him at some point, or another team maybe that encounters a goaltending injury prior to the trade deadline. I mean, I think he's a good candidate to switch teams in season.